Reading from the Chaitanya Bhagavat Madhya Lila text 257. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hena Mate Mahaprabhu Advaita Mandira Swanu Bhavanande Krishna Kirtane Vihare. In this way, Mahaprabhu was absorbed in his own kirtan, in his own ecstatic mood, while enjoying the glorification of Krishna in the house of Advaita. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vansha kalpa turubhyas cha kripa sindhu bhayeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasa de Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. So, greetings from New Jersey. There's no surprises these days where anybody is. They're in the same place they were the last time that you saw them. And that includes for anyone around the world. How powerful is Krishna? He gave everyone time out. He punished the whole world. You misbehave. You abused the environment. You polluted my Jamuna. Time out. So we're like little children. Even the biggest people in the world are like little children, confined to their. We're under Krishna's house arrest. So, I should say also that it's a little interesting for me giving the class because I have this Niyama Seva, which means you'll read about it in Monday morning greetings, but the boring life where I do the same thing every day. But I broke my schedule and stayed up late last night, late for me, because I gave a class in South America. And, you know, about the COVID-19, so I guess people who were the congregation. Dana Kaylee, steady your, somehow your picture's on the screen, I don't mind it, but steady it so it doesn't keep on moving up and down. Okay, that becomes distracting. So I spoke and I mean, ask people to reflect, because human life, atato brahma jigyasa, atato, that's the Vedanta Sutra, now indicates urgency, but not only urgency, and now meaning the unit of time now, but now after everything else, now that you've gone through 8,400,000 species of life, Brahmanda Brahmate, Konya Bhagavan, Jeev, Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai, Bhakti Lata Bij, wandering from universe to universe, species of life to species. Now that you've come to the human form of life, it's time to inquire. So I, you know, there's different themes about this, but I think this COVID-19 is promoting human life. Because the way the world was going, it didn't give us time to inquire. Prabhupada said the difference between a human being and an animal is that a human being can ask the question, why I am suffering. And basically what that means is suffering is not necessarily a bad thing. Because what pain does, it indicates a greater problem to solve. When you have pain, it means there's something wrong. And it indicates something wrong. If you didn't have pain, you'd be in worse trouble because you'd never know that something's wrong that gives you more distress and more pain. So this question of human life, why I am suffering, is really you. That's why we have our faculties of inquiry, so we can actually find out what the problem is. Joe Cayley, Don Cayley, maybe can you just shut off your video? All right, because it just keeps on moving for me. Okay, thank you. Yeah, so it was kind of, and I also asked people in that introspection, because we're talking about solving problems. Let's say we solve the present problem. And there was no COVID-19, have we actually solved the problems? Because what the Gita says, that the real problems of life, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, doshanam, darshanam. Dukkha, doshana, darshanam. This is a quality of intelligence. Darshanam, you see, dukkha, dosha. You see that the dukkha, dosha, the things that really cause distress, dukkha doshana darshanam, the things that really cause distress, janma, birth, mrityu, death, janma, mrityu, janya, mrityu, varavyadi, old age, birth, death, disease, and old age. I remember when I used to be in India, at the time where India was so poor, every Indian wanted to go to America. Now, after I fly from the Delhi airport, if I go to JFK, I feel like I'm in a third world country. It's so much more advanced there almost now in different ways. And people want to go to America. And I said, why? If you go to America, is it a fact that you won't get old? Is the fact that you won't die? Is it a fact you won't get diseased? Is the fact that you won't be born again? You don't solve problems geographically. And you don't stop problems either by ending a pandemic. It's still the problems exist. So, well, one of my favorite verses, which I forgot, Tasyeva heto priyateta kovido talabhyate yad brahmatam uparyada. One who is kovido, intelligent. He can wander here and there, but one who's intelligent, he tries to solve the real problems of life. And these problems, I'll just tell you one of my favorite Prabhupada stories, and then I'll go on to the Chaitanya Bhagavat. One of my favorite Prabhupada stories. I was, you know, we used to be in Vrindavan. It wasn't so built up. Prabhupada in the 15th chapter, which I'm actually going to speak of, no, that's a later chapter. Prabhupada talks about how nice it was by the Krishna Balaram Mandir. You can hear the birds and so many things, and you know. And then there used to be this Raman Reti Park. When you'd go where the hospice is, all that area was just the white sands of Raman Reti, where Krishna herded the cows. So if I would get a minute break, I would try to go out there. So one day I was going out there in that particular area. And this old man who's worshiped Prabhupada, but he was also a servant of Prabhupada, and he actually donated the land where the Gurukul was. And he was very close with Prabhupada. He would come and massage Prabhupada. He would tell Prabhupada Hindi jokes about this sadhu who didn't want to go back to Godhead because he didn't want to go back to the spiritual world because he was afraid there wouldn't be Britannica biscuits and Lipton tea. But you'd have to be in India to get that joke. So he said, don't go now. Go into Prabhupada's room. They're having a magic show. So, what? He said, yes, all the devotees are invited. And in that time, there may be 30, 40 devotees in Vrindavan. So I went in Prabhupada's room, and his bed wasn't there, but he'd always have like a carpets with white sheets. Then he'd sit at his desk. And there was a magician from the circus next to Prabhupada doing magic tricks. And he'd put coins on Prabhupada's head, snap his fingers, they would disappear, and then put his hands by Prabhupada's ears, and they'd come out like a slot machine from Prabhupada's ears. Then he put the coins on Prabhupada's head, tell Prabhupada to open his mouth, and the coins would come out like a slot machine. So I was sitting in the very back, and I was still relatively new in Krishna consciousness. And so I had a little bit of a disturbance because my concept is the pure devotee is beyond illusion. And one form of illusion is you see what's not there. So obviously the coins weren't coming out of Prabhupada's ears, but Prabhupada was laughing and laughing and laughing and enjoying it so much. And Prabhupada, my grandfather was born in the same year as Prabhupada. And, you know, he came from, on that side, he came from the Ukraine. My grandfather came from Kiev. And Prabhupada looked like my grandfather when in 1962, was it? Or 1960, there was the New York World's Fair. And my brother and myself took my grandfather to the New York World's Fair. And they had these animatronic exhibits by General Motors and Ford. And there was one where they recreated an animatronic dinosaur that would go down and eat grass. And my grandfather was like because he was from the old country. He was like, so like in awe, and he couldn't get over it. I Prabhupada looked like that. So I was just, I was trying to assimilate it in my not yet mature Krishna consciousness. And it went on for about an hour. And he was a magician from the circus in Mathura. Now, the circus in Mathura wasn't an ordinary circus because they taught the bears to stand up on their hind legs and do arti. So he was in the circus in Mathura. And then Prabhupada turned to the magician after about an hour and said, can you make old age disappear? The magician said, no. Prabhupada said, can you make disease disappear? The magician said, no. And Prabhupada said, can you make death disappear? The magician said, no. Then Prabhupada turned to him and said, I can make those things disappear. Therefore, I'm the real magician. And the magician became so humble, and they garlanded him, and it was Jai Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada, yes, because all those things are ultimately illusion. Even death is the illusion. This is one of my sayings I made up. I copyrighted it. I have my lawyers. Death is the illusion of non-existence. So one who can actually enlighten people and give them transcendental knowledge and give them eternal life actually has real knowledge, can give real knowledge to solve. So anyway, there's a way of looking things like that. So that was kind of fun, and it went well with the translation. Now, today's verse, I'll just read it again. Mahaprabhu was absorbed in his ecstatic mood, and he enjoyed glorification of Krishna in the house of Advaita. This is what a society of devotees is. A society of devotees is, it's described in the Bhagavad Gita, mat chitta mat kata prana bodhiyantas parasparam. Machita, matkata, prana. Machita, it's my heart. Matkata, it's my goal, prana. What is your heart, your goal, and prana, your very life? If you don't have prana, you die. So among devotees, what is their machita? Their heart. Matkata, their goal. Matchita matkata prana, their very life. Bodhiyantas parasparam. They enjoy enlightening one another about Krishna. That's what a society of devotees is. It's important to have a structure. It's important to have an institution. It's important to have a gathering. But that's what gives life. Otherwise, without Krishna Katha, then everything else becomes the decoration of a dead body. This is described in the Akura Leela, where Akura is saying, I am going to see Krishna. He's so excited. He waited 12 years in Mathura serving in the government of Kamsa, which was such a difficult and unrewarding job, simply that he can be near Vrindavan in one day by Krishna's mercy only can come to Vrindavan. And he says, I am going to see that person who's just by glorification gives life. And then the analogy of decoration of a dead body. If there's no life, what's the use of the decoration? So we're doing so many things, and they may be important, but they only get real importance if we actually get life. And life is bodhiyantas parasparam, enlightening one another about Krishna. So that's what was going on. We're seeing that in Gaur Lila. That's the society that has life. So we went through all these exchanges, and what we remember, and I'll do this really quickly just to bring us up to today's verse so we can get to the verses at hand, that Lord Chaitanya wanted to glorify his devotee in Dvaita. He wanted to satisfy him, and he wanted to glorify him. That's the mind of God. Krishna is there waiting for us to open our hearts so he can give himself. He's hearing our heart. He's waiting for that heart to announce, I want you. Matchita, matgita prana. I want you because you're my heart, you're my goal, you're my life. That is called lobha or greed. And that is the only price that Krishna demands for himself. The intense desire. Ashakti. A real intense desire. So he hears the heart of his devotee. He knew his devotee wanted to serve him. That's the voice of the heart of a devotee. It's the intense desire to serve. I don't want to get distracted today from the thing, but stories keep on coming up. I'll share the stories, but I want to keep focused about the importance of service. And I've told this many times, but there's people here that probably haven't heard it before, but I think in 1982, I was in Mayapur visiting in December. And again, there weren't that many people. There wasn't that big temple. And I was, it must have been 82, because I already took sannyas. So I had my danda, my stick. You get a religious stick. And they had a little cordoned off area in front of the devotees that's only for the Maharajas with their sticks. There weren't many people there, so I was there. And I went to Mangalartik, and then after Mangalartik, I looked around, and who was in Mangalartik? George Harrison was in Mangalartik. And I remember we went around Tulsi, and I gave him water in his hand. And when you don't tell someone that's supposed to wash the hands before they offer the water, they don't know what to do with it. And then Jayapataka Swami took George Harrison on a walk around Mayapur. And at that time, Mayapur had the most beautiful gardens in the world. It was practically the seventh wonder of the world, where they're building the new temple with gardens. And there was a gardener, they say you have a green thumb. He was the most amazing, empowered gardener in the world. But he was very much a bit of a character. He was from New York City originally, and he predated the hippies. He was a beatnik before he was a devotee. And beatniks, the way they would talk, after everything they would say daddy. That was the suffix of everything, daddy. If they would dress you, they would say daddy. So he's taking George Harrison around and showing him all the amazing plants. And George Harrison's hobby was gardening. That was his love. So we walked around, Jayapataka Maharaj, myself, George Harrison, one or two other people. And then every time George Harrison would ask for a plant, this devotee would name the plant in Latin. And, you know, and George Harrison said, "Do you have this?" And then he'd point there and he would say, "Ophidophilus, Ophidophilus, daddy." And then he'd point to the plant. When they finished, George Harrison was so blown away, and I was standing right next to him, and he said to this Kamba, "Look, this summer, leave Mayapur. I'll pay your ticket. Why don't you come and stay at my estate and help me with the gardens?" And Kamba looked at him and said, "Daddy, I may have to translate this for you. At least it's not translated to other language." He said, "Daddy, I got bucks in the bank and grapes in the cupboard. The only thing I could want is more service." "I got bucks in the bank, Daddy. I got bucks in the bank, grapes in the cupboard. The only thing I could want is more service." That's the symptom of a devotee, is his attitude for service. Not to enjoy and control, but to serve. And that becomes so prominent in his heart. "Is there any service for me?" I remember visiting that great saint, Ramesh Baba, in Barsana, the saint that Radhanath Swami lived with him when he first came. And no matter what time I would come in his room, I remember one time he was shaving, one time he was eating lunch, he'd stop everything and look at me and say, "Is there any service for me? Is there any service for me?" I was in Vrindavan when Radhanath Swami came back for the first time in 10 or 15 years. He had left in 70, and maybe it was 1982 or something. And I was there when he came into the Krishna Balaram Mandir. When he left, there was no Krishna Balaram Mandir. And I remember, as soon as he saw me, I greeted him. And the first thing he said, "Is there any service for me?" That's what a Vaishnav is. And it's not just an external thing. It's the voice in that person's heart. And when Krishna hears that, he comes and he reciprocates. He reciprocates with his devotee. So he came to Advaita to fill his desire for devotional service, saw the attitude, the exemplary attitude of Advaita Acharya, and then began to glorify him. And not glorify him, but glorify the devotee, and then make the point. And this is the last point that we had. Not the last, but and make the point conclude how great a devotee is. And Lord Chaitanya just put his hands up and said, "Avoid offenses and chant the holy name. If one could avoid blasphemy of devotees, even if he chants the holy name once, I will deliver him." And then, as these pastimes always do, when they instill deep within your heart some real important philosophical point that could guide your life to the highest level, they show you what the highest level looks like. And we see these incredible, well, it's just a beautiful life. Taking bath in the Ganga, And then they're offering obeisances to each other. And I like that. And Lord Chaitanya grabs Advaita's hand affectionately. Imagine that. The Supreme Lord grabs your hand affectionately. Expressions of affection. The first time I saw Prabhupada, I was greeting him in the airport in 1971. And I remember Prabhupada came down from steps above and waved to his devotees very affectionately. So he grabbed his hands affectionately. And then they shared prasadam, which is the sensual expression of love, the fragrance, the tastes, the colors. Someone wants to offer the best. Actually, yesterday, Kadamba Mala, one of the devotees here, Jai Subhadra, disciple of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, trying to carry on the parampara, she gave a cooking class. And the different ladies in the area were glued to the screen how to make dokla and coconut chutney. And the right color, the right texture, the right fragrance. Made with love, offered with love. And tasting that love, you can actually see love when you go to the deities in the Krishna Balaram Mandir and see the intricacy of the garlands and the beauty of the dress, you could actually see love and feel love. When you hear the kirtan of a pure devotee, when his bhava in the heart is expressed, you can hear love. When you taste the prasadam that was offered to Krishna with love and devotion, you can smell love, you can taste love, you can feel love, you can see love. So they were enjoying this. And then we had the, and we're going to get to now quickly today's verse. And then we saw what we repeatedly warned about, that these devotees in Leela, out of pleasure, they act. And when you act out of pleasure, and what's the pleasure? Out of love, out of bhav. It not may not follow a particular order, or it may. Out of love, you may do things so fine and so regulative. Out of love, you may do things just out of your heart, which may not follow a particular pattern. And we see these devotees. And then I'm just going to give the quote that was from, I think, the Bhagavatam. I wonder, let all the talkative populace say whatever they like. I shall pay them no regard. Thoroughly maddened by the ecstasy of the intoxicating beverage of love for Krishna, we shall enjoy life, running about, rolling on the ground, and dancing in ecstasy. And then the pastime ends with the devotees embracing each other, laughing, merge in the ocean of ecstasy. And this is amazing. As Nityananda is looking at it, he goes like this. I thought this was invented in America or something, but actually, right there in the spiritual world, Nityananda goes, yes, yes. Enjoy Krishna consciousness and share it with others. So, and then Krishnadas Kaviraj describes only Balaram, the Adigu, has the power to deeply understand this. No one can understand the nature of these pastimes. By the mercy of Balaram, goddess Saraswati also knows these pastimes, that goddess glorifies those pastimes through the tongues of those devotees who are qualified. Because to really deeply explain those pastimes, you have to understand those pastimes, and therefore you have to have some realization of them. It's just like when I'm in Vrindavan, I feel more inclined to talk the pastimes of Krishna. Because when people are there, they can feel those pastimes. They make sense because they're not an external thing. It's not a boy and girl associating. It's the form of a boy and girl, but not the consciousness of a boy and girl as we experience it in the material world. But when you have some sense of bhava, you have some experience of that when you're in Vrindavan and you're walking around Govardhan and you're with devotees and they're explaining the pastimes, then you can see that. You can see them as bhava, not as lust or not as frivolity or not as whim, not as ordinary playing, but you can actually see them. Yes, this is bhava. It's the form of bhava. So those devotees, they explain those pastimes. And this is a very interesting point. I do not know, it's Vrindavan Das Thakur. I do not know the chronological order of these pastimes. Somehow or other, I am simply singing Krishna's glories. It's very interesting. History is not the objective. In terms of chronology, even in the Bhagavatam, there's one verse where it gives the lineage of the kings and it says, I don't know if the dates are right. I know that Krishna and Balaram exists, but I don't know if all these dates are correct because every book has a sambandhi, a relationship to the absolute truth. And when you know that, you can understand what the book is about. So history is not important. Chronology is not important. What's important is the reality of the bhava and the exchange of love, not exactly what year it happened. So Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying, I've listed these pastimes, but I don't remember if this one came first or that one came first. I'm proceeding in a general way from the Adi Lila, from the beginning pastimes, to the Madhya Lila, to the Antya Lila. I have a general, but the exact order, I don't know. And this is the Vaishnav. Then Vrindavan Das Thakur said, I offer my obeisances at the feet of Lord Chaitanya's dear associates, so that they will forgive my offenses. When someone is very advanced, they tend to see their faults more prominently than someone who's not. It's just like someone who keeps their room spotless tends to see something out of order, even if it's very small, while a person who keeps his room very cluttered doesn't see anything that's there that's out of order. So when someone's heart is very pure, they tend to see their faults and they actually see the reality of the situation, that Krishna is so great and I'm so small and I'm in the material world and I feel bad about it. I feel bad about it. So he's very, very humble, even though he's Vrindavan Das Thakur. He's the incarnation of Veda Vyas, but he feels so humble, legitimately humble. I call it happy small, because it's a position of love, not psychological aberration. When you feel small and you want to be big, then it screws up your psychology. But when you feel small And you want to be pure. When it's not about your position, when it's about your consciousness, and you feel that way, then it's imbued with love. And you don't feel worthless on a material platform. Spiritually, you feel I should be serving Krishna more, but not a material platform. And even on the spiritual platform, you feel valued because you're loved. It's like a child is very small, but he's very happy in the arms of his mother. He doesn't want to be great, but that doesn't bother him because he feels the worth of his mother's love. So after staying for some days at the house of Advaita, the Lord returned to Navadvip with the three Prabhus, Gadadhar, Nityananda, and Advaita. And he returns, now he's going to return back, because Shantipur is an hour or something by car even from Navadvip, and all these pastimes are happening there. And then what's happening? The residents of Navadvip are in, the residents of Navadvip are in separation. Terrible separation. The degree of love indicates the degree of separation. There's different terms for separation, the feeling of separation. One is viraha, one is viprilamba. And I read in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that this level of separation that actually Krishna wanted to experience, because it's the highest level of love, Krishna came to experience the feelings of Srimati Radharani, the best devotee, Sri Radha, at the height of her love. And what was the height of her love? It was those feelings of separation. And those feelings of separation can only be experienced in Vrindavan, because Vrindavan has intimate love. In Vrindavan, you can become, the friend of God. You can become the lover of God. You can become the parent of God. You can have ragatmika bhakti, spontaneous love, not fettered by a sense of obligation of dealing with a superior or any sense of duty or fear. You can have Sri Guru Charana Padma, Sri Guru Charana Padma, Kevalava Bhakti Sadma, Kevala Bhakti, only Bhakti. It's pure love for God. It's pure. It's only love. But when it's Vrindavan, it's called Kevala Bhakti, only love. Because it's not, no obligation. We're dealing with God. I must do this. And if I don't, there's no. So when you have separation from that type of love, it's called vipralamba. And the taste of love at that level, God himself wants to taste. He comes as his devotee. And the devotees of Lord Chaitanya experience that same type of separation. So now, when all the Vaishnavas heard the Lord has come, they came running. They came running in great ecstasy. They're running in great ecstasy. It's just like when Krishna comes back from the forest. It's very interesting. When Krishna comes back from the forest, the gopis start running towards the forest. And their husbands can't stop them. They'll say, get out of my way. I'll kill you. Get out of my way. They can't. But it's described they were chased. Why were they chased? Because they wouldn't go alone. They came in groups. So they want to see Krishna. On seeing the moon-like face of the Lord, all their miseries are vanquished. They fell at the Lord's feet and began to cry. So these are the residents of Navadvip. All their misery is vanquished. Now they see the Lord. They fall at his feet. They begin to cry. And Gaurachandra Mahaprabhu embraced them all affectionately. They were all equal to the Lord's own body. They were magnanimous and topmost devotees of the Lord. Wait, I lost my place. One second. So, Udara Bhagavatara, they were the topmost devotees. And then they see Advaita, and they all offer their obeisances to Advaita because they realize it's by his mercy that Lord Chaitanya appeared. Just like in this pastime, Lord Chaitanya hurt his heart, but Lord Chaitanya appeared. Before he even appeared, the reason he came is because he heard Advaita's heart. And what did he hear in Advaita's heart? Advaita's compassion that people were suffering because they didn't have the right conception and idea. The most important thing in life is having the right faith. And faith is trust. I said this many times, unflinching trust in something sublime. We should go for that which gives happiness, which is sublimity. If we have the wrong conception of that, it's the greatest tragedy because we'll waste our life pursuing something that can't satisfy us. So before Lord Chaitanya came, there was an impersonal conception that the happiness will be individual annihilation and merging into Brahman, or there was a material conception by the Shaktas. And now, so Advaita called him. And the devotees knew that. So when they saw Advaita, they paid their obeisances. All the Vaishnavas became intoxicated with ecstasy as they discussed the pastimes of the Lord. They just began to glorify Krishna. And why did they become intoxicated by ecstasy? Because the nature of Krishna Lila, which is a perfect drama, is that it's perfectly, the ultimate reality is perfectly composed, and the writings about the ultimate reality are perfectly composed, so that when you hear about them, you have the same experience. That's what drama does. It communicates a particular mood. What drama does, it looks at the world and sees different expressions of emotional experience, called rasa, basically. It recreates in a way that you and the audience can feel the same thing. That's what drama does. But the Krishna drama, the rasa that's being explained, is the perfected, unlimited love of Godhead. So when you discuss these topics, you have the same feeling that they're representing. You know, in Vrindavan, especially during July or August, during the month of Shravan, there are many drama groups that put on musical leelas of Krishna. And the sadhus, they go and they sit there. It's an amazing thing. You'll see sadhus, people dressed in white, old widows, they'll have their beads, and they're sitting in these dramas that are recreating Krishna's leela and praying to feel the same thing that the drama is presenting, which is bhakti of Krishna. Daban Das Thakur, he's describing it and then he's interjecting his own ecstasy. Only the thousand-headed Lord, who is my life and soul, birth after birth, has the power to describe these pastimes. That's Ananta. Ananta Sesha, the thousand-headed Lord. And all of his mouths, since time immemorial, he's glorifying Krishna. So now he gives a little bit of a tattva. This is Vrindavan Das Thakur. He's in complete ecstasy writing this. Bhakti means Krishna Anu Shilanam. Rupa Goswami gives the definition of bhakti is Anu Kulyena Krishna Anu Shilanam Bhakta Uttama. What's the primary characteristic of Uttama, or the topmost bhakti? Anukulyena, in a favorable way, Krishnanushilanam, your activities follow the desire of Krishna. That's what bhakti is. In other words, you want to please him. So Anu, you follow what Krishna wants. With what? Shilanam, with your activities, with your mind, body, and words. Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasagira nikolas tu avaptasu jiva muktas uchite. Iha yasya harer dasye karmana work, manasa mind, gira words. You follow. So, just as so Vrindavan Das Thakur is in ecstasy, and the ecstasy is and his writing. One time I went in to visit this famous sadhu in Vrindavan, who I knew quite well, who Prabhupada also knew, and he did some service for Prabhupada. So I visited him, and he usually was chanting in the morning, but he was writing. And he looked up to me and he said, this is such a nice Krishna Anushilanam. It's such a nice devotional activity, because when you have to reproduce something, you have to think of it intensely. That's why Prabhupada stressed preaching, sharing Krishna consciousness as the best Krishna Anushilanam, because when you do that, you have to be completely absorbed in it. He's absorbed. And then he explains the tattva here. Just as Dvija, Vipra, and Brahmana are different only in name, Nityananda and Baladeva are similarly different only in name. So there's three terms for Brahmana. Brahmana, Dvija, Vipra. Dvija means twice born. Vipra means Brahman. Brahman, this is all terms for Brahman. They're the same, different name, same thing. So this is his ecstasy to explain the glories that Lord Balaram himself came as Nityananda. Now, a benediction is there. It's called the full shruti, the fruit of hearing. And here is the fruit of hearing. Anyone who hears the pastimes that took place in the house of Advaita will join in such pastimes. Anyone who hears the pastimes that took place in the house of Advaita will join in those pastimes. Anyone who hears the pastimes that took place in the house of Advaita will join in those pastimes. The fruit of hearing. And then Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Chandajan Vrindavindas Tachu Pari Yuga Gan, accepting Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Nityananda as my life and soul, I, Vrindavindas, sing the glories of his lotus feet. So we finish chapter 19 on Wednesday, if anybody's here, and next Sunday morning we'll start on chapter 20, which is the story of Murari, whose glories of Murari Gupta, who is an incarnation of Hanuman. Okay, would anyone like to share a realization that you appreciated, a point that you think maybe you keep in your heart?
You know, Maharaj, I really liked what you said about you can see love in the deities, and you know, and you can hear love in the kirtan of a pure devotee, and you can taste love in the prasad of a pure devotee. Those are really wonderful things. Those are just to meditate on those, and I think I've experienced those at various times.
Well, I'll tell one story. When Jamuna Devi used to stay at your house, I told that before, and she cooked breakfast one morning, and it was just oatmeal. But what love! You could actually taste her love in the food, in cooking for Radha Bani Bihari, and then sharing it with us. So when someone really wants to offer Krishna the best, then when you experience it, you can also taste their love. And you were so fortunate, Henry, you tasted so many of those recipes for that cookbook. You were the official taster. Thank you, Henry. Okay, good. Anybody else? Thank. That's nice that you shared that. I like that point a lot. Anybody else like to share anything?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It's Bhakti Devi.
Bhakti Devi. Haribo.
Haribo. You know, when you talk about the separation from Krishna and how it just makes your heart grow fonder, it's what's going on now also with this COVID-19 and the separation and how it's making all of our hearts grow fonder and yearning even more to be together.
Oh, very nice. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a fact, right? We will again join in the house of Jai Kishori and have that prasadam and program that we were supposed to have, but was canceled. Okay. Thank you. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Well, I wanted to share, we were saying that our heart goal and very life is sharing Krishna consciousness, like enlivening each other. And without Krishna Gita, it's like decorating a dead body.
Wow, yeah, nice. Wow. I'm already hearing... Well, how do you pronounce that Italian preparation he's going to make for me?
The focaccia?
It was his first time. I heard that you and him made that focaccia and that it was actually came out. I have my spies. So I know all these things. Okay, good.
You're in for a treat. It's really what? Good. You're in for a treat. It's really good.
Okay, Lal, the pressure's on.
I help, though. I help.
I know you have. Look, he's not Italian. It's not going to come out the same unless you're there. Obviously. Obviously. Okay.
Abel.
Okay. We should finish now. A few people say hello. It's nice to see people in the community.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Malati.
Okay, Haribo. Good. Nice to see you here. Great.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Narma Saki.
Wow, finally. Finally, I see you. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure for me, Guru Maharaj.
Okay, at least.
Please accept my obeisances.
Oh, wow. At least we can see each other now. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you for your class. Thank you. It was great.
Okay, great.
Wonderful. Hare Krishna, thank Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Oh, hey. Prabhatirtha. Great to see you. Thank you. Hare Bahu. Maybe we'll catch up in the next week or two. Okay. Oh, Haribo, we're hearing the sounds of Vrindavan in the background. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Aaron.
Hi Malati, yesterday I gave a Spanish thing. It worked out really good. Okay, Haribo, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hey, Raghunath.
Yes, Maharaj.
Pandaji. When I heard your kid, I was telling the devotees the sounds of Vrindavan.
Yeah. Sorry, Maharaj. But he's like, you know, next to me right now.
No. That's okay. That's the sounds of Vrindavan.
Yes, sir.
Hey, were you there when the panther came outside the building there? The leopard?
No.
Someone sent me a video from the Russian building that a leopard came right in front of the building in the back there. And all the bridge bosses were out. Yeah, I have it.
Can you send me the video, Maharaj? I want to see that.
Ask Leela. I don't know how. I'll see if I can transfer it to you.
All right, Maharaj. I'm sure I've not heard that.
All the bridge bosses were chasing the leopard and wrestling with the leopard. Oh. You know bridge bosses. They just spontaneous.
Yeah, of course, Maharaj.
I mean, I would have been running inside and shutting the door. Hundreds of them. Okay, good. Anybody else? Okay. Hey, Haribo. Did you hear the class yesterday?
Yes, Maharaj. It was wonderful. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. I'm hankering to come to Colombia. Let's see what happens as soon as this is finished. Jai Kishori, Haribo.
Haribo.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj from Mayapur. Radha Charan Krishna Premi.
Wow. Great. Okay. Oh, nice. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. It's Jai Nitai.
Jai Nitai. What a great name. Jai Nitai.
Hare Krishna from New Jersey.
Oh, wait. That's Jan?
Yeah.
I don't see you though, but anyway, Haribo. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Brajarade.
Hi, Haribo. Again, when this calms down, I'll have to come over for that South Indian feast. Okay.
Guru Maharaj.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Sri Rupa.
Sri Rupa, those people are going to think I just eat all the time. But those, what was that preparation you made that you sent over?
Corn cakes.
They were amazing.
I'm glad you like them.
They were amazing. Somehow you snuck them over across the border from Staten Island. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Gail here.
Okay, Gail. I don't have time for the questions today.
There you are, Jan. You fixed it. I see you.
You never have Indian villains, ever.
Okay. Anybody else?
Indian people don't have that vibe. They use other people, you know? The Asians and everything. They'll use Chinese and they'll use the Arab.
Hi, Krishna Gumaraj. This is Kishori Radha.
And Tota Gopina. Haribo.
Okay, I'm not going to tell about the chili that you brought because then people will think that all I do is eat. I actually do a lot
what
of
chili?
Chanting.
What chili?
I do a lot of chanting, actually, but yeah. Okay, anybody else? We're having a ball out here in New Jersey during the quarantine. It's amazing. It's all these illegal gatherings. I don't go to them, but I heard some of the devotees go to them. Small illegal gatherings based on prasadam. They're very good cooks here, I have to say. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sri Gandharvika.
Jai, Haribo. Thank you. Great. One or two more? Okay, I'm going to probably take a little rest. I only had about 4 hours last night. Okay, it was great to see everyone. Haribo.
Thank you so much.
Haribo.